ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You ever watch the news and think, whoa, this seems...
unprecedented?
Unprecedented.
It's unprecedented.
This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
Well, that's not always quite true. I'm Matt Bevan, and my show, if you're listening, is about finding times that what's happening now has happened before and figuring out what we can learn from it. Learning from history. I mean, who could imagine? Find new episodes on ABC Listen every Thursday.
Parents and teens are preparing for life cut off from social media when Australia's world-first ban for under-16s officially starts on Thursday. The government has admitted it will take time to remove all under-16s from the platforms, and it's becoming clear older users could get caught in the net. Today, Jennifer Dudley Nicholson, a tech reporter at the Australian Associated Press, on what to know ahead of the ban. I'm Sydney Peed. On Gadigal Land, Sydney, this is ABC News Daily.
Australia's world-first social media ban is now a reality for some teenagers. Tech giant Meta has begun removing accounts belonging to those aged under 16 a week ahead of the government's deadline.
10 platforms will be captured by age restrictions, including TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and X.
We can protect Generation Alpha from being sucked into purgatory by predatory algorithms described by the man who created the feature as behavioural cocaine.
I feel like it should be up to the parents more than a blanket rule imposed on everyone. If they allow me to do it, I reckon I should be allowed to be on it.
I feel like it's good to an extent because some kids, they use it for like to regulate their emotions and just, yeah, when they're bored.
But I know that a lot of people have been getting around the Snapchat facial verification, so it's not going to work.
Jennifer, we're just a few days away from a world-first age ban on social media, which has been in the works for more than a year now. It's been a really long runway up to this December 10 deadline, hasn't it?
It has, and yet it feels like it's all happening very quickly at the same time. Because we, for example, just 1 month ago, we saw another platform added to the list. Twitch was added quite late in the piece. So, surprise, they've got a... put some plans together. And also, it's a very big commitment to removing accounts for all these tech giants. So it's still an interesting one to watch.
Mm. And some kids under 16 have already been booted from some of these platforms ahead of the deadline. Some of the companies have got in early.
They have, which is quite smart when you think about the number of accounts involved, I think. So Meta had come out because they've got three platforms out of the 10 that have been named as part of this ban. And they have said that they've started to implement it from December 4. They have previously told the eSafety Commission that they have about 500,000 accounts that they've identified. Who knows how many there actually are, but they're saying that those are the ones on Instagram and Facebook that are held by people between the ages of 13 and 15. And that's a really big undertaking. So I can imagine that it would take you a week, if not more, to do that, and probably longer to actually identify all of the people who are under the age of 16.
Google's actually said that including YouTube in the ban would expose young teens to content that's not appropriate for their age. What's the argument there?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating one because they've always argued that they're not a social media platform, so they shouldn't be part of this. Mm. And if you're an account holder on YouTube and you're suddenly logged out, then you can still watch YouTube because it's publicly available and you can watch it in a logged out state. But if you haven't specified your age, then you can watch material for everyone. So in my experience, that does mean that you get ads for horror films, for example, that, you know, kids might particularly want to evade. So it is an interesting one, though, because as the Communications Minister, Annika Wells, pointed out, they're making the argument that their platform is essentially unsafe for kids in a logged out state as well, and maybe they should just address that.
I find it outright weird that YouTube is always at pains to remind us all how unsafe their platform is in a logged out state. And if YouTube, even this morning, is reminding us all that it is not safe and that there is content not appropriate for age-restricted users on their website, then that is a problem that YouTube needs to fix.
But it is really tricky, especially because they've come out and said that as a result of this, you parents will not be able to go through the accounts and place different requirements on those accounts. You won't have the same parental controls that you did previously. And so this is getting into the really murky details of this particular law.
Okay, well, Jen, the new laws say the impacted platforms have to take reasonable steps to prevent Australian children under 16 from having these accounts. But so far, it's been kind of unclear how they plan to verify the ages of their users. Do we have a sense yet of how they're actually going to do it?
A lot of the platforms have come out now and said, you know, this is our process for doing it. We're still waiting on, I think, about three who haven't commented and who haven't even said that, you know, they're going to participate in this, that they're going to respect the law. Mm. And so the ones that we have seen, thankfully, that the law states that they can't just rely on government-issued ID. So you don't have to, if you're flagged as part of this ban, you don't have to provide your government-issued ID to one of these companies. They also provide age estimation technology, a lot of them, and often through a third party. So that will, you know, ask you to take a selfie and it will estimate your age based on that selfie. Mm. It's interesting as to whether that will be accurate. I think, you know, maybe if you're a guy and you've got facial hair, you could be in the clear. Mm. I don't want to tell anyone how to evade the law. But at the same time, with, you know, teenagers who are going through developmental stages, it can be a bit tricky for that to work. And so they say it's accurate to within about 1 or 2 years, but those 1 or 2 years could be really important for kids. And so there are also other third parties and ways that are being introduced to kind of estimate age, including ones where you share your bank account information with a third party that goes to the bank and then says yes or no, are they under or over 16? And that's been a really interesting way to do it. But I think there'll be a lot of people who are concerned about whether, you know, this is a safe way to verify your age.
Okay. Well, the idea of uploading ID to various third-party platforms, it's pretty hard for people to know what's happening to that data. How much of a worry is that?
I think it is a concern. I don't think any of these companies is setting out to sort of consume that data and use it in nefarious ways. But we have seen a lot of, you know, third parties be hacked that, you know, potentially they don't have the same security as a giant platform. And so I think it is a concern. We could also see based on that, you know, some phishing attempts. So some emails saying, you know, please provide your ID. And then they could use those for nefarious reasons. I think it's something to keep an eye on and to very carefully select what sort of age verification that you choose to go through.
All right, Jen, so these restrictions, they're going to be a really massive change for a lot of young people who have grown up online.
I would never give up social media until the day I die, no. It just no.
I do not think that anyone is going to obey it under 16. My YouTube account thinks I'm born in 2000.
I don't want my friends to. I don't want my followers to feel alone because a lot of them have said that social media is the place that really gives them a community.
Where we are, you don't have a lot, or you don't have anything to be able to talk to anyone or catch up with mates. So as soon as you take away the social media, you take away the connection between each other.
What kind of concern is there around the impact this could have on some young people?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of mental health experts who have come out, and academics as well, who I've spoken to, who have said that, you know, for some people who are isolated by location potentially, or even, you know, this is how they've used online groups to connect with people who are like-minded, this could be really hard for them, not being able to connect with those same people. The eSafety Commission has come out and said, you know, what you should be thinking about now before the ban is in place is how are you going to stay in contact with people who you've met on these social networks, potentially if your accounts are going to be taken away. Is there an alternative platform that you can use, or is there a messaging service you can use to keep in touch with people who are really important in your life? I think there are other platforms as well that haven't been restricted as a result of concerns that, you know, young people will be affected badly by those being taken away. But I think it's really important for parents to sit down with their kids before this ban is in place, have a talk to them about what platforms they're using, you know, who's important to them and how they can stay in touch.
And obviously young people, they're pretty good at finding ways to circumvent rules like this. I've heard about some of these newer social media sites popping up. They've quickly become very popular in the lead up to the ban. One is called Lemonade and there's another one called Yope. I'm not across those apps, which I'm sure is very uncool of me, but it's going to be this whack-a-mole kind of system for the government, right?
I think it is. And, you know, if action is taken against those, then potentially kids will go to another platform. I'm waiting for, you know, Blue Sky and LinkedIn and Pinterest to become, you know, hubs for kids connecting on the online. It would be so funny to see LinkedIn transformed in that way.
Yeah, Jen, and as you say, we've seen the Communications Minister, Annika Wells, say she's got no issue banning these platforms as they pop up.
It's a dynamic, evolving industry. That's why I keep referring to the list as dynamic, because it will need to expand as different platforms receive migratory patterns.
But Jen, not everyone who gets kicked off will be under 16, will they?
Yeah, there's software that these companies use to kind of estimate your age based on your activity. So if you're constantly looking up, you know, Roblox and 6-7, for example, then maybe it's going to estimate that you're under the age of 16. Whereas if you're looking up movies like The Goonies and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, maybe you're in the clear. Right. I don't know that's a solid way, but it is a way to kind of estimate based on behaviour.
Meta says it's got an appeals process and it's going to ask people who've been mistaken as underage to take video selfies. They could have to provide ID as well. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yes, so all of these tech platforms have said that there will be an appeals process. I hope it's a slightly better appeals process than we've seen so far, because a lot of those vehicles for appeals have been difficult to use or have been automated, and so a real person isn't involved to stand there and say, no, that person is definitely of age. They have plenty of wrinkles. It could be a really interesting one for people who are forced to go through this process who are over the age of 16 and to fight for their account to come back. We've seen the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman come out over the past week and say, you know, there have been multiple calls for a digital media ombudsman to sort out problems, and potentially with the social media ban coming in, we will need that. There's no overarching organisation, regulatory organisation that you can go to for a final say on all of this. So it really is up to the platforms to let you back in if you've been incorrectly flagged by this technology.
Social media is doing social harm to our young Australians, and I am calling time on it. The safety and mental health of our young people has to be a priority. And my government will do all that we can to protect our young Australians, but also to provide support for parents and teachers who are dealing with these issues.
If a child has a social media account on 10 December, then that platform is breaking the law. Teenage addiction was not a bug, it was a design feature.
Okay, Jen, and as we mentioned, this is a world first, so leaders will be looking to Australia, right, to see how it all pans out. It's quite a big moment as far as regulation for these tech companies go. Could Australia be a blueprint, do you think, for other countries looking to follow suit?
That's what a lot of the tech companies are worried about, but certainly we're already seeing that. So the European Union is talking about adopting a similar approach. But we've also seen Indonesia, Malaysia, Denmark and New Zealand talk about using Australia as an example. I think the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman-Grant, actually called us the first domino to fall. But I think that potentially if this is successful, then I think that we will see some of it, potentially parts of it, enacted in different countries as well.
We're almost at this deadline. How do you think this is going to play out? Is the internet suddenly going to be safer for Australian teens? Or, I gather from our conversation, it's going to be a little more complicated than that.
I'm fascinated to see how this plays out. I think that it could potentially be messy. And we've even seen the politicians behind it and the regulatory companies behind it. I think they've said that it's going to be messy. It's going to be imperfect. We're going to see a lot of people try to circumvent the bans, and that goes for parents as well as children who don't agree with it. I think that it will have an effect on the people who we see on different platforms. But I don't know how it's going to play out over the long term. And it is interesting that there's some research going on into what effects this does have, and that includes whether it sends, you know, kids to more dangerous places, whether they're exposed to more unsafe information online, or whether they end up reading more books and playing outside more. And it's not clear what effect this will actually have right now.
Jennifer Dudley-Nicholson is a tech reporter at the Australian Associated Press. Audio production for this episode by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sydney Peed. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.